Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Sadi Zayin and Zvachim. Topic of discussion today will be kashering. Kashering kelim. We'll be focused mostly on kashering kelim in the Beis Hamikdash because we're learning Zvachim, and that's the focus of today's discussion. But we'll touch a little bit about kashering kelim outside the Beis Hamikdash in our own homes. We start at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page, but we're a little bit behind from yesterday. We finished off the story of Rami Bar Chama. It's kind of an unbelievable story that we saw yesterday with Rami Bar Chama. Gave us an insight into Rami Bar Chama, the relationship of Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshes, and general issues regarding Rami Bar Chama. But okay, that was yesterday's daf. We start today Echad Kachi Kachim. Okay, we have this.
From him to ask a question when
you
knew exactly.
Yeah. The story I mentioned yesterday after the daf, you know, in the off tape. I mentioned yesterday the story was just too. It was too perfect. It was too neat. The story. In other words, it.
Yeah, it's like he knew the answer.
Yeah.
And he knew the answer.
Yeah.
Would that put the credibility of Rami Bar Chama in question?
No. No.
If one of the students went and did that and found the writer and so on, right? Yeah. What would be for the rest?
He's a tremendous Talmid Chacham, but. I don't want to get tied up on this.
Right.
Let's put it this way. Yeah. No, but it's fair. These are fair questions. We saw at the end of Horios, right? The Gemara asked the question: Ochre Sinai or Ochre Harim or Sinai? Yeah. Like which is better, to have more knowledge base or to be more insightful and be more deductive in your reasoning? And so the Gemara says that Sinai is better, but the Gemara does entertain the idea that Ochre Harim, that if you can uproot a mountain, if you have an insightful brain, there's value to that as well. Not as much value as Sinai, as knowing, having a knowledge base, but there's value to that as well. So I guess we would put Rami Bar Chama much more in the camp of Ochre Harim. He uprooted the mountain, so to say. But it wasn't, you know, his student felt that wasn't good enough. All right. We're right after the two dots. Echad Kachim. Kachim. It's the first white line on the page on Sadi Vav Amid Beis, and we start like this. We talked about this special halacha of Mariku Shtifa, right? Mariku Shtifa is that after I cook a chatas in a kli, so if it's kli cheres, so shvira, you have to break it. Okay, and we talked yesterday about the possibilities of maybe sending it back to the kivshan and refiring it up, and maybe that'll make it a new entity. And that was yesterday's stuff. Okay, and then what if it's a metal? The Torah. The Torah, by the way, doesn't talk about all metals. The Torah talks about copper. But I would assume, I'd venture to say, hopefully I'm not going to go off on a limb saying this, it would apply to all metals as well. The Torah was just giving an example of copper. If you cook in a copper, so the Torah says you have to kosher it. The Torah doesn't use the word koshering. The Torah uses the words marika ushtifa. Later today, we will find out what the definition of those words actually are. But right now, for the time being, we're going to use just a very generic term of koshering. Okay, which karbonos need to be koshered? So that's subject to a machlokas in the Mishnah. According to the opinion of the Tanakhama,
both.
Right, it's echad kachim kashim, echad kashim kalam. It applies to all karbanos, right? Even though the Torah is talking about the chatas, which we're going to get to in just a moment, right? But nevertheless, according to the Tanakham, it applies to all karbanos, both kachikachim and kachim kalim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, no, it only applies to kachikachim, not to kachim kalim. Okay, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to navigate our way through this machlokas. The Gemara starts off echad kachim kachim. Tana rabban chatas ein le'al chatas. Good. In other words, the brayso of the Gemara is quoting and is now going to help us get from where the pasuk is to where we are, which is by all karbanos. So the pasuk talks about the karban chatas. How do I know that it applies to all kachim as well? Kol kachim inayin. Tamar lomer kodesh kadoshim hi. Okay. So the Torah says kodesh kadoshim because it's holy. So yachol shani mar besa truma. So maybe this halacha of mariku shtifa applies with truma as well, meaning if I cook truma in a pot, in order to kasher the pot, now listen carefully, kashering the pot by truma, what does that mean? Yeah. It means if a non-kohen wants to eat from that pot, because a non-kohen is not allowed to eat truma. Truma to us non-kohanim, right, is as prohibited to us as chazer, Right? It's absolutely forbidden. It's machalos nesaros. It's asuros. It's forbidden foods. So I might have thought that this special halacha of marika ushtifa would apply to truma. Truma has kedusha. It has sanctity. It is kodesh. So I might have thought that applies to truma, tamalamer, osa. So we have a miut. We have an exclusionary term. Prat l'truma, div Rav Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Okay. So we learned two things over here. We learned how we got from the pasuk, which is talking about the carbon chatos to all carbonos, and also we learned that the Tanakama is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Amar Kachim Kachim to Unimrika Ushtifa Kachim Kolam Ein to Unin Merika Ushtifa. Rabbi Shimon, like our Mishnah taught us, makes a distinction between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kolam. The Echtiv Kodesh Kadashim Kachim Kachim Ein Kachim Kolam Lo. So the Torah does say Kodesh Kadashim, and we've seen many times the basic distinction between the higher level, higher order karbanos, and the lower order karbanos. Higher order karbanos are Ola Achatas Asham and Shalmei Tzibur, and lower order karbanos are Shlamim. So the Torah, when it speaks about this special halacha of Merika Ushtifa, so it's talking about higher order karbanos. The Torah says Kodesh Kadashim. Okay, and obviously now we got to do what the Gemara classically does: figure out with what each Tana does with the other's proof. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda made this. So first we'll start with Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, we have the word Osa and Osa is a miut. So what are we excluding? So we're excluding Truma. So now we're going to work with process of elimination. So you've seen what we eliminated, so you see what's left over. If we eliminated Truma, anything above Truma is going to require Merika Ushtifa, which will be Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kalim. Okay, good, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Amlacha Osa Kida Amrinan. So Rabbi Shimon is going to go back to a Gemara that we mentioned earlier. Kida Amrinan. The Gemara says, go back, where are we? We're on Sadi Zion. Go back 3 days, 4 days. Okay, the word Osa, you remember, that was an exclusion. We made a distinction between blood that had a Shasa kosher versus blood that didn't have a Shasa kosher. And okay, so we made that distinction. That is what Rabbi Shimon does with the word Osa. Okay, so in other words, remove it from the whole discussion. So once you remove it from the whole discussion, we're left with our psukim that say that this halacha, Merika Ushtifa, applies simply to Kachi Kachim, not to Kachim Kalim. So, Kedamrina Uchuma Labai Shtifa Merika. Okay, sorry, let's try that again. Uchuma Labai Shtifa Merika. So, you're telling me now that Truma doesn't require the special halacha of Shtifa Merika. That's tiny, but that's not true because we learned in a Braisa. Kedar Shabishaba Basa Lo Yivashaba Chalav. Right? The basics of Tyrovis. If you have a pot that you cooked meat in, you can't cook milk in that pot. That pot is infused with the taste of meat. The taste of meat is saturated throughout the walls of the pot. You cook milk in that pot. Now the taste goes from the walls of the pot into the milk. You have created a bust of a chalav. You can't do that. The imbishul benosein tam. But what if you do cook? So then benosein tam. So then you figure out if in fact it gives off a nisinus tam. For a simple example, let's say you started off by cooking meat in the pot. Let's say you cooked only 1 ounce of meat in that pot. Okay. You took the meat out. How much taste was infused into the walls of the pot? Certainly nothing more than 1 ounce. Probably less than an ounce because you took some of the meat out of the pot. But let's even go with worst case scenario. Let's say total taste was infused to the walls of the pot. But the total taste is 1 ounce. So now what if I cook afterwards 60 ounces of milk in the pot? So I'm good. Because it didn't give off a nisinus tam. So that's part one of the braisa. Part two of the braisa. Shruma lo yivasha v'chulam im bishal benosin tam. Same rules apply to truma as well. Truma, if I cook truma in a pot, so again, I can't cook chulin in the pot because the taste of the truma is infused into the chulin. Now, what if I do cook chulin in the pot? Right. So, same thing. Example that I just gave for basa v'chalav, same exact example, but obviously not meat and milk, truma versus chulin, if it gives off a nistinas tam. If at this point in time you're a little bit confused, I thought truma was 1 to 100, and over here we're talking about nistinas tam, so don't be confused, because, well, or try not to be confused. The difference is between lach v'lach versus yavish v'yavish. When we give our ratios of 1 to 100 by truma, that means yavish v'yavish. Meaning I have one bean of truma or one grape of truma mixed in with 100 other grapes of chulin, then we talk about ratios of 1 to 100. If we're talking about just taste, nesinas tam, lach v'lach, if we're talking about just taste, so then, or if you don't taste it, So then there's no Easter. So there, all you need is tam to be mevato. You need the taste to be bitto.
Isn't lach balach
No.
Same.
I mean, yes. Yes, but I'm not talking in the world of truma.
I understand, but truma is the exact opposite.
It's the opposite. It comes out to be.
I think that lach balach, where they interact, we have a stew.
Right.
It would be more machmir than.
Understood, but it works out. The way I said it is the way it works out. Right, you're right. In other words, then we don't deal in shuma life. We deal in regular chulin. So you're right. So then it comes out now that by yavish we're just rove. Two kosher hot dogs, one non kosher hot dog. You're fine, according to Rashi in the Ramah. You have to throw one out. But in other words, you're right. You're absolutely right. But in shuma world, comes out that lach v'lach is more mekum. Amar Abaye. So we here now really fundamental gemara is coming up. Why do I say that? Because what we've just done is we've presented the following issue. In the world of truma, it's exceedingly clear that you can't cook in a truma pot. You got to expunge the taste of the truma out of the pot before you cook in that pot. So you're telling me, this is exactly what the Gemara is now bothered by, that in the world of truma, you don't need to do Marika Ushtifa. Of course you need to do Marika Ushtifa. Marika Ushtifa is koshering. It's koshering the pot. How can you tell me that you don't need to do Marika Ushtifa by truma? And by the way, what the Gemara is also asking, although it's not articulating this, but what the Gemara is also asking is, essentially, according to Rabbi Shimon says that when you cook kachim kalim, you don't need to do Marika Ushtifa. What do you mean you don't need to? Of course you need to do Marika Ushtifa. In other words, if I leave the kachim kalim in the pot, if I leave the taste of the kachim kalim in the pot, that taste is going to become nosar. You're going to tell me that now I can cook in that pot whatever I want? I have to expunge the taste. So what bothers the Gemara essentially is, and I'm just reformulating the Gemara's question, what's the difference between kashering and Marika Ushtifa? Mm-hmm. Well, that's really what the Gemara is asking now. Amar Abaye.
Ushtifa has to be done.
In the Azara. Okay, but there'll be other, that's correct, and there'll be other basic differences as well, which the Gemara is about to highlight now. Amar Abaye lo tzricha ela l'dam amar bishol b'mikzas kli tal Marika Ushtifa kol ha-kli ha-truma lo tzarech ela makom bishol. So answer number one provided by Abaye. Abaye's answer is like this. When there's a requirement of Marika Ushtifa, it has to be on the entire kli, period. Like we learned earlier. Okay, like we learned yesterday's daf. When it's just a little bit of truma cooked in the pot, I can do spot treatment. Now it's funny, yesterday, if you remember clearly, we talked about in a pot, there's no such thing as spot treatment. Right? In fact, that was the whole discussion between Rami Bar Chama and his ex-student, that you can't do it by, you can't do spot treatments by pot. You can do spot treatment by blood stains, you can't do spot treatments by pots. And the Gemara over here suggesting, yeah, you could. It comes out now that Rami Bar Chama maybe wasn't so off base. Now, there is a discussion because we generally assume in the world of kashrus and kashering that you have to kasher the entire pot. There's no such thing as just localizing. Well, where did you cook in the pot? And over here, the Gemara is saying, yeah, you could localize. You could point to a certain area and say, no, I only cook truma in that point in the pot. That point in the pot requires koshering. Some Rishonim say that this is only true by truma. This is not true by real machalos asurs, right? Foods that are objectively asur, not just non-kohen asur. Okay, but again, that's a bigger discussion. We're just right now highlighting what's the difference between quote-unquote regular koshering and Marika Ushtifa. So Abaye's answer is Marika Ushtifa requires the whole pot. Rav Amar lo tzricha ela l'da amar mar b'mayim v'lo b'yayin b'mayim v'lo b'mazok. Ha afilo b'yayin v'afilo b'mazok. Answer number two provided by Rava is that no. Marika Ushtifa requires water and only water. When the Torah says that you have to be umarik v'shutaf b'mayim, the Torah says that has to be done in water. When you kasher other machalos asuros, meaning when you don't need quote-unquote Marika Ushtifa, and all you need to do is just kasher, you could use other liquids as well. You could use wine, you could kasher with wine, you could kasher with diluted wine. Okay, that's answer number two, that's provided by Rava. Answer number three is Rabba Bar Ula. Rabba Bar Ula amar lo tzricha ela l'dam amar, Marika Ushtifa b'tzonin. Ha'afilo b'chamin. So the Gemara says, well, we know that there is. Okay, now let me give a little introduction to this third answer over here. This third answer is based on a machlokas which we have not seen yet. We're going to see the machlokas in just a moment. The machlokas is coming up in the Mishnah. The Torah says that when you have chatas cooked in a pot, in a metal pot, you have to murak v'shutaf b'mayim. You have to, I don't even know how to translate these words into English.
Purge.
Fine, purge. And rinse. Purge and rinse in water.
Right.
Okay. There is a fundamental machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe's opinion is that's talking about cold water. You have to purge in cold and rinse in cold. Okay. The Chachamim disagree and they say no. Murak is talking about hot water, what we would call kashering, and shutaf means rinse it in cold water after that. Okay. That is the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Now, for the rest of today, for all of today, we're going to assume, like Rashi and Tosfos. I'm going to show you Rashi and Tosfos in just a moment. According to Rebbe, that doesn't mean you don't kasher the pot. Meaning, Rebbe says, the Marek Veshutaf is talking about cold water. That doesn't mean we skip Haggalah. No, we do Haggalah. After we do Haggalah, then Umarek Veshutaf Betzonin. Then you rinse in cold water. So what does that mean? You rinse it twice in cold water? All right, so I'll come back to that. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But just know for now, Machlok is between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe says Mark Veshutaf is talking about cold water, and according to the Chachamim, it's not. Mark is talking about hot, and Shutaf is talking about cold. Okay, we're just, wait. It's just, right now, just
setting it up.
Okay, let's not try to understand right now. Just set ourselves up. With that in mind, so now let's go back to our Gemara's question. Our Gemara's question is that we have this thing called the Murak Veshutaf B'mayim, which we know applies to Karbanos. And the Gemara says it doesn't apply to Truma. Now the Gemara says, but wait a second, we also know that if you cook Truma in a pot, you got to kasher the pot. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference is. Let's see the third answer inside. Rabba bar ula amar lo tzricha ela l'damar mar marika ushtifa bitzonein. So we're going to go like Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe holds amarika ushtifa bitzonein. So if we assume like Rebbe's opinion, so then I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is very simple. That in the world of Truma, when I cook Truma in a pot, I just need to kasher it. And that's it. Meaning, Hagala Beroschin, boil hot water in the pot, and that's it. In the world of Karbanos, I got to do Hagala plus rinsing in cold water. Morak Veshotaf Amayim. So the Gemara says, good. So what you've done now is you've given me a very definitive difference between Truma versus Karbanos. So the Gemara says, but according to the Chachamim, where the Morak is actually talking about Haggalah, so now tell me, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Shtifa Yesei Rasa. Even according to the Chachamim, there is an extra Shtifa requirement by pots where Karbanos were cooked, as opposed to pots that just require Haggalah. Okay. Comes out like this. Okay, it's a little bit complicated, but it comes out like this. When I cook not Karbanos, but just regular Ma'achalos Asuros, like Truma for non-Kohanim, like any time I cook Ma'achalos Asuros, comes out from the Gemara that all I need to do is Haggalah. Haggalah means boiling hot water in the pot. Yeah, I gotta fill the pot up all the way to the top, and we know we heat up a stone and we throw the stone in, and all right, this now's not the time for all that. But in other words, but it's Haggalah Beroschin, it's boiling hot water inside. Then when the Torah introduces us to when you cook your carbon chatas in a pot, in a metal pot, and there's a special requirement to Marek Veshutaf, what it means is that in addition to Haggalah, you also have this rinsing in cold water feature. According to Rebbe, Marek Veshutaf is both talking about the cold rinse, and according to the Chachamim, on the Shutaf is talking about the cold rinse. Later, I will try, maybe not successfully, to explain to you the difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim, because that's subtle. That's very subtle. They both basically agree with what's going on, but that's your general overview. That's the general difference between kashering carbon pots versus kashering regular machalos. If you take a look, I told you I'm going to show you both Rashi and Tosfos. Take a look at Rashi, Marika Veshifa Bitsonin. 1, 2, 3, 3 wide lines down on the page. Rashi writes Marika Veshifa Bitsonin, bar me hagalas chamin, meaning in addition, excluding the hagalas chamin, meaning of course you have to do hagalas chamin, right? Had the truma di imait me taras meriko shtifa sagilei bahagalas chamin luchudayu, meaning when it comes to truma, all you need to do is hagala, and that's enough, and you don't have to go through this process of meriko shtifa. Okay. Tosfos, bottom Tosfos on the page.
Is he saying, I'm sorry, is Rashi saying that in addition to doing that, you're supposed to rinse it with hot water and then cold water? And
no. According to Rebbe, you're supposed to. According to the Chachamim, when the Torah says in Morak, that's talking about Hagala.
So they're saying once you've done Hagala, then you're just rinse it with cold water?
Right, and that's an extra requirement, according to the Chachamim, that's an extra requirement by carbon. That you don't have by regular machalos or siras. Just give me a moment. Let me just set it up. Tosfos, look at Tosfos on the top of the. I'm sorry. Last Tosfos on the page. Lo tzricha midam amar meriko shtifa b'tzonin. Achar hagala. Again, Tosfos just like Rashi, right? When the Torah is describing the meriko shtifa, it's after hagala. And then the point the Gemara is making, Tosfos is just holding our hand, walking us through the Gemara. Then for Truma, Pats, all I need to do is Hagala. And I don't need to do the after Hagala rinsing. And now Tosfos again walks us through the next step of the Gemara. According to the Chachamim, Merika is Hagala. So Ma'ikla Me'emar Mishani, and the Gemara's answer is Shtifa Yisayrasa. The Tzarech Lasos Pekachim Shtifa Yisayrasa Achra Hagala. Mashen Kei Mitchuma. Okay. So the difference is basically the same point that Merika is talking about the Hagala, and Shifa is that after Hagala rinse, which is only needed for kachim and not needed for truma. The Yeshlamo Mikan, so Tosfos says, so what do you see from all these Gemaras? From this last answer, what do you see? The Kelim Asurim, Kishim Agilin, Ein Tzarech Lishot Fun Vitzonein Achrei Kein. You don't have to rinse it in cold water. Now, you know what everyone does after the kasher? They rinse it in cold water. Right, you know that. Okay, and if you don't, now you do. So you rinse it after you kosher your pots or whatever you're koshering. So you rinse it in cold water. So Tosfos says, not necessary. Tosfos, however, says, it's a minug. Look at the next line of Tosfos. Afa pi shenoagin atalasos kein. So Tosfos writes, it's a minug. So we do it. But after learning the Gemara, now you know you don't have to do it. Well, it's a catch-22 because you have to do it because it's a minug, and minug Yisrael. So we're not gonna go against Minag Yisrael, huh?
But
that's important though. It's important to realize that if you don't do the after Hagala rinse, so it's still kosher.
The mikveh is what? The mikveh putting the mikveh is
totally different. Totally different. We are now talking about this whole discussion is talking about expunging the prohibited taste that absorbed into the pot,
right.
And the only way that
clean and then you do Hagala.
Right,
and then what is it between the
mikvah is a totally
What do they actually do? Do put water?
They rinse it with cold water. It's not nothing to do with mikvah. This is just an extra requirement, the mitzvah in the Torah, that when I have pots that I've absorbed kachim, so the Torah tells me this is a procedure, and part of the procedure is rinsing it in cold water afterwards. But that's a kachim halacha when we're talking about our foods and our pots. So you need to kosher it because it absorbed non-kosher. So you kosher it, meaning you boil hot water in it, and that's it. Now there's a minhag Yisrael, which Tosfos here points to, which is that we rinse in cold water afterwards. And you understand where the minhag Yisrael came from, because in the Beis HaMikdash, which we no longer have, so they did that. So we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and I can't explain where the how the minhag turned from the Beis HaMikdash to what we do in our homes, but I certainly can point to where we see this being done and say that Minhag Yisrael is that we rinsed in cold water afterwards.
If Mirika is included in the Gala, why did you have to mention it in the first place?
Right, so that would be a good question against the Chachamim.
Right, why you have Gala and Mirika?
Right, Rabbi's. Okay, so the Gemara later on, we'll talk about that later on. That's a good point.
What kashim requires a clean?
Kashim kashim is carbon chatas. Carbon chatas is kashim. Right, and meanwhile, the meat of it is eaten by kohanim. So they're going to cook it. They're not going to eat it raw.
Cook it by roasting, no?
No. Roasting is only by Karban Pesach. Chatas can be cooked in a pot. Okay, any which way they want.
Chatas can be roasted, right?
It could. Could be roasted, sure. Sure. The Gemara said, the Mishnah told us earlier that that karbanos can be prepared any which way you want. Okay. Okay, let's go on. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Bishul mitzchilas haregel, yivashu bo kol haregel. Okay, you can reuse pots all of Yantif in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, now we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about karbanos. We're learning Zvachim, 11th Perek. So Rabbi Tarfon says, Bishul mitzchilas haregel, yivashu bo kol haregel. So if you cook from the beginning of Yantif, you could take that same pot and keep cooking with it all of Yantif, and you don't have to do Mariku Shtifa. Now, even though there are going to be karbanos being cooked in that pot, and even though the taste of that karban is going to become nosar, if it's shlamim in 3 days, if it's chatas in 1 day, I'm sorry, next day. So okay, but according to Rabbi Tarfon, it doesn't matter. You can just keep using that same pot over and over again throughout the course of all of Yantav. Reason to be explained in just a moment.
You're talking about the Chalamot, including everything 7 days.
All 7 days.
So afterwards, then, yeah.
So, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Bishul mitchilas haregel yivashu bo kol haregel. V'chachamim omrim, ad zman achila, marika ushtifa. And the Chachamim say, no, you only have till the zman achila. If it's shlamim, it's 2 days. After 2 days, you got to kasher it. If it's chatas, you have 1 day. After 1 day, you got to kasher it. You can't just simply reuse the pot again and again over the course of Yantav. Again, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to explain the machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. Merika kemerika sakos, ushtifa kishtifa sakos. What is merika ushtifa? We've been talking now about it now for the past 3 days. It's fair now to give some sort of basic definition of what it is. So it is, merika is like merika that you do with a cup, and shtifa is like shtifa you do with a cup. What a fantastic definition. Right? If we only knew what merika and shtifa by a cup meant, so we'd be really cooking. We'd be doing great. The Gemara Brachos in the 7th parak tells us as follows. When you're gonna bench, you have to bench al hakos over a cup of wine. Right? The halacha, which somehow one of the lost halachas is that you have to bench over a cup of wine. Now, some people are very good about it. Some people do, in fact, bench over a cup of wine. There's a big machlokas rishonim. When the Gemara says to bench over a cup of wine, is it with one person? Is it with three people? Is it with 10 people? Right? Some people just do it on Shabbos, and there's really no source of just Shabbos as opposed to during the week, but okay, you bench over a cup of wine. Benching is the davar chashuv. We find this so often. The chachamim, they have something, they have a davar chashuv. They attach wine to it. They attach wine to kiddush. They attach wine to havdalah. They attach wine to birchas erusin. Right? The chachamim do that to show that it is significant. So they attach a cup of wine to it. Same thing with benching. Benching is a davar chashuv. It's a mitzvah daraisa. So they attach a cup of wine to benching. Okay. The only difference is that we make the bracha of wine after benching, not before benching, right? It's a logistic problem. Tosos points it out. It's a logistic problem. Not here. Tosos and brachas. Tosos and Pesachim. Tosos points it out that you can't make the bracha of wine before benching, because then you benched. So then, what are you going to do after that? Yeah, right. You benched, which means that whatever you did beforehand and whatever bracha you made beforehand is came to an end. So it's a logistic problem, so we make the bracha afterwards. Okay. When you bench over a cup of wine, so you got to make, there are certain regulations about the cup itself. Cup has to be rinsed. Merika ushtifa. Now, when you have your cup of wine for benching, so the first thing you need to do is you got to rinse the inside. Then you got to rinse the outside. That's Merika Bekos and Shtifa Bekos. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. The Mishnah is referring to the cup of wine over benching. Merika Kamerika Zakos, Ushtifa Kishtifa Zakos. Merika Ushtifa Bitsonain. And you do it in cold water. Our Mishnah is following whose opinion? Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion. Hashpud V'Haskala Mag'ilim B'Chamin. Now if you have a spit or you have another type of spit, Rashi tells us how to say it in Old French. So magilim bechamim, so you boil it in hot water. Okay, everyone at this point in time should be thinking to themselves, that doesn't sound right. What? No, you shouldn't be boiling it in hot water. You should be burning it over a fire. Good. So what you're remembering now, hopefully, okay, took me a while to hit my head with this Mishnah. is the remembering the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara of Avodah Zarah asks this very question, meaning, no, it's Alaish. Spit over a fire should require fire to kasher. So Rashi tells you that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah asked this question, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah gave a number of answers to this question. Right, Daf Ayin Vav. See there for that discussion. My time at Rabbi Tarfon. So let's go to our Mishnah. Let's go over now the first point of our Mishnah. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you could reuse a pot over all of Yantav, including Chol HaMoed as well. What's the reason? So the Gemara attempts to give the following reason. I say attempt because this one's not going to work out. The Torah says what you do is you wake up in the morning and you go home. Meaning you have a great Yantav. You go to Yerushalayim because that's what we do on Yantav. We go to Yerushalayim. You have a great Yantav in Yerushalayim. You wake up the next morning and you go home. Now Rashi, the way Rashi understands it, Tosos doesn't like Rashi's entire approach. Right? See the second Tosos for that discussion, but I'm just going to present the Gemara Kipshuto like Rashi. Rashi says you can't take the Pasuk literally. You can't. What are we talking about? Waking up the next morning on Yantav? First day of Yantav. Ufanisa baboker v'halachta lo alecha. You're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to go home. You can't walk home on Yantav. Right? Aside from the fact that you can't get in your car and drive. Okay, but let's even go to a time where there wasn't cars, right? You know that we are confined to Tchum. You know that we're confined to Tchum on Yantav as well as Shabbos. So...
At least at the time of when they were in the desert, their tent was pretty close to the oil.
Right. You're not going home. You're not going home on the first day of Yantav. So it says, Ufanisa Babok, you wake up in the morning and you're going to go home. It's got to be talking about Chol HaMoed. Okay, so but it sounds confusing because it says Ufanisa Baboker. So every morning of Yantav is treated like the first morning. So that's what that's Hakasav Asu Lekulam Boker Echa. They're all Boker Echa. They're all one morning. So in other words, we're taking Yantav and we're basically treating all 7 days of Yantav like one day. So. Okay, aside from the fact that we're disrupting the time-space continuum, aside from that, the Gemara says, Maskif la rav achtabuya barami v'chi ein pigel beregel v'ein notes the beregel? So you really want to tell me that 7 days of Yantav really are one day? Okay, right, Einstein's theory of relativity is true, and Yantav flies by, and even though it's 7 days, but really it's one day. So you want to tell me that there's no pigel on Yantav? You want to tell me there's no nosar on Yantav? Right? You really feel that way? V'chitei ma'achanami, and maybe, yeah, sure. V'atanya, but the Gemara says, that's not true. Rabbi Nassan, Amar lo Amar, Rabbi Tarfon, ala Zubavad. Rabbi Tarfon's halacha of all 7 days is one day that's only regarding the halacha of Marika Ushtifa. And that's it. And so, that's not the explanation of Rabbi Tarfon. Elikad Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua. The Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, kol yom v'yom nase giul lechavero. Here the Gemara says, here's the answer. What's happening over the course of Yantav is a lot of karbanos. And pots and pans in the Beis HaMikdash are getting used and reused again and again and again. I mentioned many times there's a slow season in the Beis HaMikdash, and then there's busy season in the Beis HaMikdash. And those 7 days of Yantav, that's busy season. Everybody's bringing all the karbanos, not just the karbanos that they're required to bring for Yantav, but if you have a neder and a dava, you're bringing that as well. Those 7 days are just rocking in the Beis HaMikdash. And what happens is that every day you're cooking again and again. Now Rashi gives the following example, and this is easy. This part is easy. You see, what happens is on the first day of Yantav you're cooking a shlamim. So now the taste of the shlamim is imbued into the pot. Okay, and how long does that taste last? Right, 2 days. Today and tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, we're going to have another shlamim being brought. And we're going to be cooking the meat of that shlamim as well. And we're going to use this pot. And when I cook the shlamim in this pot, so the taste of yesterday's shlamim comes out. The cooking of today's shlamim is the kashering of yesterday's shlamim. Oh, good. So, and that's just going to continue again and again and again. And that'll last for all 7 days.
Your intent isn't to do that.
Okay, so good. Hold your question because I'm going to use your question in just a moment. Okay. Now, Rashi says, that's easy. Let's get a little trickier. What if I cook a chatas? So you see, it's not that smooth. Because if I'm cooking a chatas, not on yantav, I'm not allowed to cook a chatas on yantav, I'm not allowed to offer a chatas on yantav, but l'chol ha-moed. Okay? So what if I bring a chatas on chol ha-moed? So now, how long does it taste good for? Today and tonight. So tomorrow, it's too late. Meaning the taste in that pot is no sar. I didn't get a chance to. I can't just cook a shlumim in a no sar infused pot. So how does that work? So Rashi suggests, again, this is all Rashi. I'm not introducing anything over here. So Rashi suggests that what you're going to do is that on the day that you cook the chatas meat, on that very day, immediately afterwards, you're going to be cooking shlumim meat as well. So the cooking of the shlumim meat immediately after the chatas meat is going to expunge the taste of the chatas meat.
So one nullifies the other.
So right. So in other words, with the continuous cooking, you're basically going to have a kashering process again and again. Called echa, called yom v'yom nasa giul l'chavera. Okay. Now, if all this I'm saying is correct, and again, all this is Rashi, so of course it's correct. Not that nobody disagrees, but if all this is correct, so then you're left with, what's the Chachamim's position? Because the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim in our Mishnah said, no, you need to kasher the pot using Mariko Shtifa. So what's the Chachamim's position? So the Gemara is not clear about that. I mean, the Gemara does not articulate why the Chachamim disagree.
They just don't think that this is
kashering
it enough.
Right, I have a number of cheat sheets. I use Rabbi Kornfeld as one of my main sources of where I look at. So he quotes, Rabbi Kornfeld quotes a Ravid. I would never find this right. I would never find it. It's a Ravid on Taurus Kohanim. Okay, but it's a Rishon. So he quotes the Ravid, and the Ravid says exactly what Ben suggested earlier. Meaning that when you're cooking the next day, your intent is not to kasher yesterday. But who cares? In other words, so what? It's not your intent. It's going to happen. Now, the Ravid says it may not happen. Since you're not intending to kashering means you got to fill it to the top. You got to boil oil in. You got to throw the hot stone in. The throwing of the hot stone, by the way, there's no magic in throwing the hot stone in. All the hot stone allows you to do is get the water to fill over the top. So you get the rim. There's no...
Nothing to do with the temperature of the stone?
No, you heat the stone so that the stone doesn't cool the water down. Maybe but there's no magic. There's no the stone is just a facilitator, just allows the water to get to the top. So the Ravid says that's what the Chacham is bothered by. Since you're not intending to do so what you may end up doing is you may just be cooking it the next day, but you might be only cooking halfway up. And so what the Chachamim's worried about is since you're not intending on kashering, you may not end up kashering. So therefore the Chachamim say, you know what? I'm not into this. Every time you want to reuse the pot, you're gonna need to kasher the pot. Okay, fine.
I don't understand what Rabbi Tornfeld is assuming. He's assuming that you're kashering the pot with the next carbon.
Right.
You
right.
Can use the carbon.
But when you're kashering, here's the rub. When you're kashering, it's not yet usser. That the contents are not yet usser. So you've expunged it, and you've expunged something that at this point in time is not even.
It can't become no usser once the top is next
car. I hear where you're going.
That can't become the
yeah.
It doesn't combine with the
next. I hear where you're going with that. Okay.
Because if you worry, it's like not or not.
Right. Right. Now, I'll tell you, I told you yesterday, I'll say it again today. You go back to Tosos on yesterday's daf, the Im Tashkol Paskula Asura, so he deals with your discussion. I'll take the time afterwards, but that's right now. Right, he definitely deals with your issue. He makes exactly your point. Okay, good. All right, I'm not answering your question, but telling you that Tosfos deals with your issue. Okay, let's go in the Gemara. Let's go ahead. V'chachamim omrim ad zman achila, my kama, I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Abaravu, amam tin la ad zman achila, v'hadar avin le'mariku shtifa. And the Gemara just simply says, according to the Chachamim, what do? You wait. You wait till the taste is expired, and then you kosher it. Minani mila Rav Yochanan mishum abba Yosi ben abba k'siv umarak v'shutav v'k'siv kol zachar b'koin v'yochal ha-ketzad mamtim la'ad zman achila v'hadar avi le'miriku shtifa. You wait till the zman achila, meaning you wait till it expires and then you do miriku shtifa. Okay. Mirika k'mirika sakos v'shtifa k'shtifa sakos. I think you have to wait until it actually, in other words, miriku shtifa presumes that you have
everybody's
you have tam iser in the pot.
But if you do it earlier,
right. Well, again, that goes back to the Rabbi Tarfon discussion, the Rabbi Tarfon debate. I understand. So,
what?
Meaning?
Okay. I thought odd means you can do it earlier.
I assume over here odd means you wait till it actually becomes iser and then you do it. Okay, that's what I assume. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Mariko Shifa Bitsonin Divrei Rebbe. Okay, so now, as I introduced earlier this morning, we're now on the topic of Mariko Shifa. So according to Rebbe, it's cold. It's cold water. Marika and Shifa are both talking about cold. And now we know that according to Rebbe, it's, so what are the two terms? If they're both cold. Marika means internal and Shifa means external. The Chachamim Omrim, Marika Becham Shifa Bitsonin. According to Chachamim, no. Marika means hot and Shifa means cold. Now, I told you this, and this is a part which is also just difficult to understand. I'll ask the question and think about the answer, and I spent some time thinking about it. What's the difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim? So you'll say to me, what are you asking? You just said the difference. According to Rebbe, Marika's cold and Shifa's cold, and according to the Chachamim, Marika's hot and Shifa's cold. No. Think about it more. Because remember, I showed you Rashi and I showed you Tosfos. Even according to Rebbe, you're doing Hagala. You're boiling hot water in there first. And then according to Rebbe, then what? Then the cold rinse. Cold rinse internal and cold rinse external. According to the Chacham and Marika's talk, that's referring to the actual Hagala. And then what? And then Shtifa, which is cold rinse. So when the day is over, what's a tangible difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Maybe, and the Gemara does not ask this question. I'm asking the question because it's real. The question is there a tangible difference between the two of them? Maybe according to the Chachamim, the cold rinse doesn't have to be both internal and external. Maybe. But that's guesswork on my part. I don't know. My time at the Rabban, Mariko Mecham Shifa Bitsonin. My time at the Rabban, Amidah Dehav Agyule of the Chachamim. So the Chachamim say, look, we know, clay midjan. The Torah says you got to kosher it. Over here, same thing, you got to kosher it. Of course, Marika is talking about hot water. V'Rebbe, Amalacha Hagala Lo Kamina. So Rebbe says, leave Hagala out of the discussion. Of course, I agree to the concept of Hagala. Ki Kamina La Marika Ushtifa, the Basar Hagala. I'm talking about Marika Ushtifa that comes after the Hagala. V'Rabbanan, and the Chachamim's counter, Imke Lichtov Kra, O Morak, Morak. Oh, shotaf, shotaf. If you're right, that they're both referring to cold rinses, why doesn't the Torah repeat the same word? So, my umorak v'shotaf, shma mina, marika b'cham, and shifa b'tzonin. The Torah is speaking two words because it's speaking to two different concepts. One is talking about the hagala, this is the Chachamim talking, and the other one's referring to the shtifa, the cold rinse afterwards. V'rebi, and Rebbe's counter, if Rebbe's counter is, if the Torah would have repeated the word, I would just simply say, like on the shampoo bottles, repeat, rinse, repeat. And by the way, you know why they say that on the shampoo bottle?
To use more.
Yeah, because they want you to use more. Okay, I don't even say it as a comedic point. I really believe that. But anyway, lekach ksiv umarak v'shutaf l'malacha marika k'marika zakov kos u'shtifa k'shtifa zakos. So in other words, and Rebbe's counter is no, it's not repeat. Marika is referring to the internal, and the shtifa is referring to the external.
You're doing the internal with the gala. Why do you have to say?
Right.
If it's the same thing, why do you have to repeat it?
Right. And
These are big pots. Right.
By the way, we're in the month of Adar, so and Rashi says it. Rashi says it here. Rashi says it on Chumash. I forget whichever way. Rashi says the word marika. We don't have that word in elsewhere in Chumash, right? So it comes up in Esther, right? The by Esther it says v'tamruke hanashim. Now, you're going to ask me. I know what the next question is going to be. What does that mean? I read the Megillah every year, and I know. Right, it's part of the cosmetics of the women. Tamruke Hanashim. But the Rashi says, I think it's Rashi and Chumash, because I'm looking here, it's not here, so it's got to be Rashi and Chumash. I didn't make the connection, Rashi did. Rashi says that's where also you find in Tanakh the word Morak. Tamruke Hanashim. Over there in the Megillah, it's referring to some sort of cosmetics for women.
Yeah. So what's the bottom line?
It's difficult. I tell you the truth, this is a difficult sugya. Because everybody agrees to koshering. That's never on the table for discussion. Koshering means boiling hot water in the pot. That's Gemara's terminology is hagala. Okay? They're removing the expunged taste. And then on top of that, there's a mitzvah in the Torah by Karbanos of Marika Ushtifa. And now we know there's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe in terms of what the Torah is referring to. Rebbe says, leave Hagala out of it. Meaning that's assumed. After you do Hagala, then you rinse. An internal rinse, according to Rebbe, that's Marika. External rinse, that's Shtifa. That's Rebbe's. And both are cold water. That's Rebbe's position. Chachamim say no. Chachamim say no. Marika is talking about that's the Hagala with the hot water, and Shtifa is the cold rinse afterwards. Come back to my question, which I don't really have an answer to. What's the practical difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim? I don't know. I know they're arguing about the Pshat and Chumash. That I got.
Can you suggest that Marika means that in addition to the Hagala, you rinse it inside once with hot water and outside with cold water? That's the only way to distinguish.
Maybe, but then you're doing the same thing I'm doing, which is guessing. Right. Which, it's fine. Yeah. Meaning, it's fine. I'm guessing as well.
We go back to Hagala.
On this issue, again, who the halacha follows, first you have to answer my question. Or give me the practical difference between the two, and then I'll tell you who we follow. Okay, let's start the next sugya. Right. 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 Correct. Correct. Right? I don't know.
Well, it can't be.
I don't know.
There's only two times here.
Right. Right. That was usually dinner at yeshiva, and that didn't make me excited, but... Okay. Let's do the Mishnah, and we'll have to stop for today. Bishul bo kashim v'chulen, o kashim kashim v'kashim kalim, im yesh ben benos in tam, hare kalm necham kechamurim. You cook various karbanos together, so if there's a which, by the way, it seems like you can, if there's a transfer of taste, says the Mishnah, so you're going to always have to work with the more chomer taste. So in other words, if you cook shlam and mechatzas together, which, by the way, Hedy, that's a very good point. I don't even think you can.
If you can, why were burning all those kasherot before?
Okay, but assuming you can, or if you did, forget if you can. If you did, so it takes on the form of the more chomer. The Einan Tuna Mariko Shtifa, and it doesn't require Mariko Shtifa. That line of the Mishnah is beyond understanding. The Gemara is going to come to that, and the Gemara is going to quote unquote correct that line of the Mishnah. The Einan Posam Bamaga, and it doesn't Pasal Bamaga with contact. Again, it's a line that is beyond explanation, and again, the Gemara is going to come and correct that line of the Mishnah. Rakik Shinaga Baragik Vechaticha Vechaticha. What if you have foods making contact with another? Not cooked together in a liquid. Cooking together in a liquid creates a total infusion of taste throughout the whole piece of food. We're talking just simple contact between two foods. Either contact between two pieces of bread, contact between two pieces of meat. Only the point of contact becomes aser. This is a halacha in Yeridea, which we're going to be learning about tomorrow, the halacha of Kedei Netila. Taking off a finger's amount of food at the point of contact. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Tomorrow, another Yeridea discussion. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, we will pick up.